All right, we'll say good morning. First of all, our shir today is sponsored by the martyrs in memory of Mr. Martyr's father, Rafael Ben of Eliezer HaKohen, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama has an aliyah.
Amen.
So, everybody did their homework. It's not even a question. That's a statement. So, we're going to start today, merit from Daf Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. I'm sorry, there was no email about the homework. All right, so Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, says the Mishnah. Hakash, a new Mishnah. Again, I'm always like, still, it's interesting. What's interesting, it just says an aside about Masechta Shabbos, is how much time in the Masechta is devoted to Mukta, given the fact that Mukta is Drabani, you know, there's so much Malacha on Shabbos, but you've seen Mukta has gotten so much airtime. It says the Mishnah, Hakash Sha'agabe Hamita, if you have straw that's on top of a bed, Lo Yina Anena V'yadom, you should not go ahead and move it with your hand. You should move it with your body. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hakash al-gabi amito, ustam al-hasaka. Now remember again, the reason why you have straw on the bed bipashtos is because that was your cushion. But remember, stam straw is mukta. Why, says Rashi? Because usually it was set aside for burning purposes, for kindling purposes. Umuktzu, I'm reading Rashi, uba lishkav halav. So now what happens? The stam straw is on the bed. It's bepashlos, it's mukta, because it was set aside for kindling. I now want to lay down on the bed. So I will say, interestingly enough, why am I moving the straw? Not because I want it out of my, just the opposite. I'd like to fluff up the straw to make it more comfortable to sleep on. So Halach Lamaisa says the Mishnah, I can't go ahead and move it with my hand directly because it's mukta. But what can I do? I can kind of move it around with my body. What about my body? What we've called so far tiflul min atzad, indirect handling of mukta. However, however, if the straw was designated as animal feed, o shahaya alav kar o sadin, or there was a mattress or a sheet over the straw. What does that mean? That let's say before Shabbos, I made my bed. And I spread out the cover or a sheet on top of the straw, which did I effectively do? I designated that straw actively as my cushion, as my bed, which means I have removed it from the status of being mukta. Then halacha l'maisa min ana biyado. So whether again it's designated as animal feed, or I actively set it aside by, let's say, covering it with a cover with a sheet as my bed, then I've removed the mukta status, therefore I can handle it directly. Mechabesh shal ba'alei batim. If you have mechabesh, we'll say is a press, like for pressing clothing. So apparently, people used to have their own presses. You know, I want to go ahead and straighten out the creases from my garment, so they had a press. So mechabesh shal ba'alei batim. So if you have again the press of avalavos, matirin avalo kovshin, which you could do on Shabbos. So let's say it turns out, we'll say, I forgot my bekisha in the press, my supez in the press. So what happens? I can go ahead and matirin. I can go ahead, and the way it used to work, Rashi points out, is the press, there'd be two slabs of wood, the press would come down on top of the article of clothing, and there'd be pegs that would hold down the press. So on Shabbos, if I forgot my clothing, I could undo the press and take out my clothing. Avalokovshin. But you can't go ahead and actively press clothing on Shabbos. Look at Rashi. Avalokovshin. Because again, I've also said there are two different ways of understanding this. Either it means that halacha maisa, there's a concern that you may come to prepare for after Shabbos, or it could very well be that it's uvda d'chol. It's considered to be a weekday activity. Vishal kovsin, however, the press of a launderer's press, lo yigabo, you should not touch at all. Rashi says, vishal kovsin lo yigabo, mipnei shu asui l'taking habigodin. Because the launderer's press is not a real press that's there to go ahead and literally fix clothing, meaning press clothing. And when you go ahead and you fasten down the top plank, you fasten it down very intensely, very strongly. So it's actually very interesting. So Rashi points out over here that the issue is the following. In the launderer's press, the issue is that when you fasten down the top piece to the bottom piece, it's fastened down almost in an immovable fashion. That's why, again, when the launderer pressed your clothing, it mamish came out looking like new. When you press your clothing at home, whatever, it looks better than it did before it went into the press, but it's really not the same. So Rashi points out over here that the launderer's press is so tightly put together that if you were to go ahead and remove the peg and lift up the top part, it would be like stira, it would be like demolition. Meaning that when it's together, it's like one entity. To go ahead and disconnect it would be like ultimately taking apart the entity, which Rashi calls stira, which Rashi calls demolition. And I want to say, we've already seen before that there's a big discussion about whether or not yesh binyan ustira etzel kelim. Right? Is there a concept of building and demolition by utensils? Clearly, so we're not going to get into that machlokis over here, but just again to be aware of it. Fine. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman. So we'll say now what the Gemara is going to do is focus on this first image of the Mishnah. So remember again the first aspect of the Mishnah. So we have over here again this idea that if the straw is on the bed, so can I directly handle the straw or not handle the straw? So the answer is, it depends. It depends on what I did with the straw prior to Shabbos. Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im haya mutar me'erev Shabbos, matir eskula v'shomtov. Thank you. Rabbi Yehuda says, however, halach l'maisek, the launderer's press was already unpegged, if that's the word, unpegged prior to Shabbos, then you could go ahead and remove the entire top of the press on top of the clothing. So again, now to the Gemara. So let's remember the first statement in the Mishnah dealt with the case of the straw. Can I directly handle the straw or not? So that depends on what happened, what's my relationship to the straw at the onset of Shabbos. If again, the straw was not designated for anything, so stam undesignated straw is considered to be muktzah. Because stam tevin, stam straw, stam kash is for asaka, for kindling purposes, therefore it's muktzah. However, if I actively set it aside for permitted use, either as animal feed, or I've gone ahead and, let's say, put my sheet on top of it, so it's my mattress, it's my bed, then I'm permitted to go ahead and fluff it up even by hand. So says the Gemara, we actually quoted this case before, Amar Rav Nachman, hi pugla. This pugla is a radish. So we'll say the following case. I have the pugla, I picked the radish before Shabbos, but I want to go ahead and put it back in the ground to preserve it. I want to put it back in the ground to preserve it. So the Gemara says, "Oh, Rav Nachman, hi pugla. If I want to put the radish back in the ground, milamala lemato shari. If I put the radish back into the ground, so right side up, milamala lemato. The top is the top, the bottom is the bottom. Then it's mutter. Milamata lemala. However, if I put the radish back into the ground upside down, asir. It's asir. Now, what asir means, what mutter and asir means over here is to remove it again from the ground. If I put it in right side up, then it's mutter to remove it. If I put it in upside down, it's usher to remove it. What's the logic over here, Abosai? You look at Rashi for just a moment. Hi, Pugla. So Rashi says, Sinon shetomnim mekarkel is kayim, kishebala choltzol milamala lamata shari, im haya rasha lamala ukta lamata, becholetis mirosha avatkila, v'ukta nimshach achareh, mutter lefisha gumra chava milamala. So also remember, the radish is wide on top and narrower on the bottom. So when I put that in the ground, let's say, so now I put it in the ground, obviously, before Shabbos, right? So I detached it before Shabbos. I put it back into the ground before Shabbos to keep it, to preserve it. Now I want to eat it on Shabbos. Can I remove it from the ground? What's the issue at play over here? It's not kotzer. It's not harvesting or reaping. Why? Because the radish was already plucked from the ground before. It's no longer attached to the ground. The issue over here is muktzah. It's muktzah. The concern over here is moving earth. Moving earth as I pull the radish out. So the Gemara says like this, Rav Nachman says like this, if the radish is in the ground right side up, so that the wider part is on top, so that I could technically remove the radish with what? Without moving the earth. Because remember, the hole is already sufficiently wide. Masha Inkin, if I put the radish in upside down, the pashtus I covered it, which means that when I go ahead and I pull out the narrow part first, what's going to end up inevitably happening? The earth is going to move as I pull the radish out. See, so why is the Gemara quoting this? Because you see from Rav Nachman that incidental movement of muktzah is aser. Tiltul min ansad is aser. And again, remember what I was saying. In this case, I'm not directly moving the earth. I'm not directly moving it. What am I doing? I'm moving the radish. But by touching the radish, by moving the radish, it's going to end up moving the earth. So you see from here that incidental or secondary movement of muktzah is aser. To which the Gemara says, Amr Rav Ata bar Ava, Amri Bey Rav, Tanina, Nachman. The Mishnah is clearly not like Rav Nachman. Because what did the Mishnah say? Hakash sha'agabi hanita. If you have straw on top of the bed, lo yina anenu biyado, you should not move it directly with your hand. Aval mena'ano bigufo, but you may move it with your body. However, if it was animal feed, or again, you actively set it aside as your mattress by placing on it the sheet or your cover. You could move it directly. What do we learn from the Mishnah? I will say what we learn from the Mishnah is indirect movement of muktzah is not considered movement. Shmamina. And indeed, again, this is a statement of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah clearly, therefore, does not accord with Rav Nachman. Because Rav Nachman, from the case of the Radish, clearly indicates that even indirect movement of muktzah will, in fact, be asr. I will say, we paskin like this Mishnah, lav davka in terms of straw, but in situations where there is a need to sometimes move muktzah, because of a variety of circumstances, what we say is tiltul min hatzad lo shmei tiltul. Indirect movement, the muktzah, is not considered muktzah. I'll tell you exactly where this comes up, just quickly, because we're going to finish the daf today. Key rings. So what happens if a person realizes on Shabbos that I forgot my car key on my key ring? Right? I have my house keys, and I forgot my car key. So today it becomes a little bit more complicated, because, you know, car keys are much fancier now with, keyless entry. But let's just leave it aside. So I have a car key. So what happens? So what do I do? The car key is muktzah, right? Because the car key serves no permitted purpose on Shabbos. But elamah, you could still continue to carry the ring. Why? Because again, I'm carrying the motor key. The muktzah key is considered to be a tiltul min hatzad. It's in it. So my point over here, and there are many different cases of muktzah like this, where in cases where I'm in a bind, so we go ahead and we do indirect movement of muktzah. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hani pilpili, meidok chado chado bekata de sakina. These peppers, well, this is a totally different topic. So Rav Yehuda says, now, peppers, I can go ahead and meidok, I can chop them up, chado chado, one by one, using the handle kata de sakina, using the handle of the knife. Also, take a look at Rashi. Meidok daik chada chada lav tochenu elakila achayad. I will say, remember, on Shabbos you are not allowed to chop up things very finely. So let's say, for example, you can't make a salad with very finely chopped pieces of vegetable. Why? Because it's an issue of tochen. It's an issue of grinding. One of the Lamed Tes Melachos is grinding, chopping something up into very fine pieces, also considered to be grinding. So what's the definition of very fine pieces? Just as an aside, Rav Shlomo Arbach Paskins. That if it's small enough that you could go ahead and swallow it without chewing, then halacha l'maaseh, that's considered to be a fine dicing, a fine chopping, which would be an issue of tochen. So the Mishnah says, let's say I want to chop up peppers, so how do I do it on Shabbos? So meidak chad chad, number one, I can only chop up one pepper at a time, and number two, I do it in an unusual way, which is using the handle of the knife. However, it's hard to usher, but to chop up two peppers at once, that will be usher. Bless you. Rava Amar Rava says, Kevan de Mishani, since you're employing your shinui over here, namely that you're using the handle of the knife, then afilu tuva nami. Then even chopping up multiple peppers at once is going to be okay. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said the following. Man disochi b'mai is an interesting case. One who is bathing in water. We'll say this is talking about, again, remember, we spoke about the issue of bathing on Shabbos, the Gzeras Merchatz. The Gzeres Merchatz on Shabbos is a din in hot water, right? Technically speaking, one could bathe in cold water on Shabbos. There's no gezer against that. I think I mentioned when we did the sugya, Rav Moshe said that in Europe, it was common that especially during the summer, people took cold baths, cold showers, right? It was kind of, he said, it was only in America where he saw that people don't do this on Shabbos at all. It's interesting. So now, also, let's say someone's in the river. They're coming out of the river. Man desachi b'maya. What should you do? Lingav nafshei b'resha. You should dry yourself off first. V'hadr lislak. And then only afterwards should you come out of the water. So we'll say, lav dafka, it means dry yourself off in the water. What it means is, essentially, as you stand by the banks of the water, and before you walk out, dry yourself off. What's the issue? Dilma asila asuye dalet amas bekarmelis. What are we concerned about? Generally, the water itself in the surrounding areas is not the Rishus HaYachid, and it's not Rishus HaRamas, it's called the Karmelis. We spoke about Karmelis extensively. The Karmelis is this area that has Rishus HaRabim-like qualities, but is not quite Rishus HaRabim. So what's the concern? Very interesting. If you don't dry yourself off, you're going to have water on your body, And what may happen? You may go ahead and transport that water dalid amas in a karbalis, which of course is an iser derabanan. Therefore, you should dry yourself off before you go ahead and actively leave the water. So, says, if that's what you're really concerned about, ihachi ki kanochis nami. If that's the case, you should be concerned when you go into the water. What's going to be the concern? So he says, ki kanochis nami kadochi kocho dalid amas va'asir. So if that's the case, when you go into the water, there should be another concern. What's the concern? When you get into the water, remember, you push water when you go into water. The water itself is considered to be a karmelis, right? The water itself. So maybe the concern should be that when I go walk into the water, I push water, and if, in essence, I push water dalet amis in a karmelis. To which the Gemara says, no, that far we don't go. Kocho b'karmelis lo gazra. We'll say in halacha is a very interesting distinction between something that I do directly versus kocho, versus something that occurs as a result of my we'll call it like inertia, as a result of my strength. So for example, the fact that the water may move, dalet amas, is a result of my strength. I didn't actively move the water, dalet amas. What are we concerned about in the karmelis? That I will transport something, dalet amas. So therefore, again, that's why the Gemara says, when I'm getting out of the water, I really should dry off before I go ahead and walk onto the shore. Because again, if there's water literally on my body, I'll end up transporting that dalet amas. However, again, in the water itself, there's no concern, because again, that would only be kocho. Amar Abaye. That's still kocho. I mean, unless you take your hand and you move it, and you move it dalet amas. Although one can make the cogent argument that who says it's the same water that's beginning from the brink, that's beginning at the front, they're going to the end. But in Achinami, maybe if you went like this the whole time. Amar Rabbi, Vitim Rabbi Yehuda. Tit shal gabi raglo. If you have clay, you have clay on your foot. So you got like dirt, you got clay or mud on your foot. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, "Tishal gavreglo mikan chol bekarkav and mikan chol bekosel." You could wipe it off on the ground, but you can't wipe it off against the wall. Amarava, meaning as well as like, if you can imagine, you stepped in mud in your shoe. You want to get the mud off. How do you get the mud off? So Rabbi Huda says you could wipe it off on the ground, but you can't wipe it off against the wall. So the Gemara says, "Amarava, my time. Why not? My time bekosel. Why can't you wipe it off against the wall?" It's interesting. Mishum demechse kibona. Because it looks like building. So it's like, because what's interesting is that what would happen, you're applying a layer of clay. You're applying clay against the structure. So Rava says, name Rav Yehuda, that it looks like you're building. So Gemara says, Rava says, but that doesn't make sense. Habiyin chaklohu. First of all, no one really builds like that. The only people who build like that are peasants, right? Who use it. Because remember, most people were using some type of lime to coat the exterior of their home. It was only the very poor who were using clay on the outside of the home. So Rava says that's not the normative way to build. So why would you be concerned with Bona? Elo Amar Rava, therefore Rava says, no, just the opposite. Mekancho bekosel, ve'in mekancho bekarko. You can wipe your foot against the wall, but you can't wipe your foot against the ground. Why? Meaning you can't rub your foot on the ground. Dilma asi la'ashvuye gumos. Because of also, remember, rubbing your foot against the ground could lead to what? Could lead to a leveling out of the ground. What's the issue with leveling out of the ground? It depends where you are. If you're inside your house, then it's what? Then it's bona. And if you're outside your house, then it's chorish. Excellent. Then it's plowing. So the Gemara says, Itmar, marbury dravina amar, echad ze ve echad ze aser. So we'll remember, just follow this for just a moment. So you have Rabbi Huda who says that you can wipe it against the ground, but you can't wipe it against the house. You have Rava who says you can wipe it against the house, but you can't wipe it against the ground. Marbury dravina says, echad ze ve echad ze aser. Bar Baravina say they're both aser. They're both aser. Rashi says echazev echazev aser zemi shum bona v'zemi shum eshvuye gumos. So interesting. Marbury Ravina takes the chumras of both. Marbury Ravina says you can't wipe it against the house because it looks like bona, and you can't wipe it against the ground because you're leveling out the ground. Rav Papa Amar echazev echazev mutter. Rav Papa says they're both mutter. Rashi says because ain derech mekav niskaving bekat karmel k'rab shimin. So Rav Papa says they're both mutter. Why? Because either way, it's not your intent to build, and it's not your intent to go ahead and level out the ground. Because of that, we pass on like Rav Shimon, and therefore, Rav Shimon is kavin is mutter, and therefore, it's no problem to wipe your foot on either of these things. So the Gemara said the following: Echazev echazev mutter. The Marbrei Dravina, the Mai Mekanchile. So okay, so here's the issue. So Marbrei Dravina says you can't wipe your foot with the mud on it, with the clay on it, either against the house or against the ground.
So, okay, good.
So, Maravina, you know, throw me a bone. So, what am I supposed to do now on Shabbos? Right? I stepped in the mud, I stepped in the clay. How do I get it off my shoe? So, Maravina would say, mechanically de bekora. You could go ahead and wipe it against a piece of wood. Rashi is bekora be'etz hamutal ala karka. Just that kora literally means a beam, but it means a piece of wood. Because wiping it against a piece of wood, there's no issue of bone, eh? And there's no issue of smoothing out the ground of Ashwe Gumos. Amar Rava, lo leisiv inish apume delechya, dilma mignadra lechefetz, va'asila asuiv. So this is just an independent piece of advice. Rava says a person should not sit right by the opening of the lechi. Also remember what he's talking about over here. We've mentioned this, or this will be a major topic of discussion when we get to Eruvin. But if you remember again, we have a thing called a mavoi. A mavoi is an alleyway. In the Mishnaic setup, homes open up into a chazar, a common courtyard. Common courtyards open up into a common alleyway, a mavoi. And a mavoi leads into Rosh Surab, a public domain. Because the mavoi looks like a public domain in certain respects, we need some kind of heker, some type of recognizable distinction, whether it serves as an actual entrance way or it's just a reminder called the lechi or a kor, a vertical or a horizontal beam. So Rava says over here that a person should not go ahead and sit right under the lechi. Why? Or the korah, because what's going to happen? Let's say an object rolls past him and he'll simply bend back to pick it up and take it in. And where it's going to roll? Where is it going to roll out to? If he's sitting right by the entranceway, Rosh Sarabim. And he may end up doing an accidental act of chotzah. So essentially what Rava says is, just don't position yourself right at the entranceway of the mavoi. So the Gemara goes weiter. Aba Amar Rava, lo litzadad inesh kuva. A person should not rock a barrel back and forth. Right? Moving it back and forth on its side. Dilma asa vashuei gumos. Because you may come to smooth out the ground under it. A person should not go ahead and literally put in udra. Rashi says, is mochin shesosmin bahen piapach. So this is like material. So what people would do is they would often go ahead and take wet material, whether it's cotton or something else, moisten it, and use it as a way of plugging up the opening of a utensil. So Rebbe says a person should not go ahead and take wet material, cloth or cotton, and put it in the opening, and put it in the opening of the puma, put it in the opening of the barrel. Why? Dilma asili de schita, because you may come to ultimately wring it out. Amar Rav Kahana, tit shagave bigdo. If you have clay or you have schmutz on your clothing, so what should you do? Mechas mekaskiso mi bifnim ve'in mekaskiso mi bachutz. You could rub it on the inside, but you can't rub it on the outside. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. So listen to this. Let's see, sometimes you get a little bit of dirt on your clothing. So now, the problem is, wiping it off could be an issue of malabin, of laundering on Shabbos. Now, Rashi points out it's not the real malabin. Why? Because you're not using water. Anytime you're not using water, it's not going to be biblical malabin. But it still looks like malabin. So Rav Kahana gives a very interesting answer. He says, you can't rub it directly. Like, if the stain is over, I can't rub it directly. What I can do is, I can go in the inside of my garment and kind of rub the material from the inside of the garment, and that doesn't look like malabin. That doesn't look like material. That doesn't look like laundering. Meisve, Gemara raises a kasha. Tit shagabi mina alo, if you have clay on your shoe, megaro begav sakin, you could scrape it off with the handle of a knife. Vishal bigdo, and if the schmutz is on your clothing, megaro bitsiporen, you could go ahead and scrape it off with your nail. Ubilvat shalo yikaskis, as long as you don't rub it. My love shalo yikaskis klal, does that not mean that you shouldn't rub it at all? Lo shalo yikaskis mi bachutz ela mi bifnim. Rather, what does it mean? You shouldn't rub it on the outside, meaning don't rub the actual stain itself, but rather go on the inside of the material, rub the sides of the material together, and the schmutz will come off like that. You can go ahead and scrape, right, a new shoe, but not an old one. Rashi says, avalo yashan, shekolfo bahavi memachek. So apparently, again, if you were to go ahead and scrape an old shoe, the leather itself begins to come off, and it has the appearance of, not the appearance, it becomes the malach of memachek, of smoothing out. The mamagarero, so what can you go ahead and scrape the new shoe with? Amar Rabbi Ava begav sakin with the handle of a knife. Amar Yehu Saba sami didach mikamei ha. So the Gemara says, Amar Yehu Saba, a certain elder said to him, sami didach mikamei ha, your words should be removed in light of this teaching. The Tani Rabbi Chiya, which is another way of saying you're wrong. So right, so the Gemara says, because why? The Tani Rabbi Chiya said, ein megarin lo min al chadash velo min al yashan. You can't scrape or you can't drag a new shoe or an old shoe. And we'll say, remember, the fundamental difference with this, what it means scraping, the issue that would come up would be actually wearing such a shoe. Because by definition, when you go ahead and you wear such a shoe, what occurs? The scraping that occurs automatically when you walk. So now, that's the ramification of this. So for example, so now Rabbi Avo says, the Rabbi Avo said the following. The Rabbi Chiya said, you can't go ahead and scrape any kind of shoe on Shabbos. Not a new shoe, not an old shoe, because both will be an issue of memachik. Both will be an issue of smoothing out. Furthermore, you may not go ahead and smear your foot with oil if your foot is within your sandal. So we'll say, listen to this. I guess what you could do is, let's say I want to put oil on my foot. Sandal has openings. I'm too lazy to take my foot out of my sandal. So instead, I'll just smear the oil on my foot while it's in the sandal. So Rabbi Chiya says, you can't do that. My foot is inside the shoe or inside the sandal. Rashi says, because also remember, one of the ways in which you tan leather is you smear it with oil. So the issue over here is that if my foot is in the sandal or the shoe, and now I'm smearing my foot with oil while it's inside, it has the appearance that I'm tanning the object as well, the shoe or the sandal. I'm sorry? Correct, but that's the ongoing machlokas. It's the ongoing machlokas. However, the Gemara says, you can't scrape a new. And you can't smear your foot with oil, whether it's in the shoe, whether it's in the sandal. However, what you can do, however, is you could smear your foot with oil, right, and then put your shoe on or put your sandal on. They're both saying, what would be the chaf over there? The chaf over there would be, even though that afterwards, when I put my foot into the sandal or into the shoe or the sandal will still benefit from the oil that's on my foot. But that's okay, because again, that's a davar shein miskaven. That's not my intention. I have no intention to tan the leather, and therefore I could do that. Again, to go ahead and mamish apply the oil to my foot while it's in the sandal, so that's almost like a direct application of the oil to the sandal or to the shoe. That far you can't do. But to smear my foot and then go ahead and put it into the shoe or the sandal, even though again the shoe or the sandal benefits from the oil, that's okay. V'sach kol gufo shemen, you could apply oil to your whole body. Umis agil agabe katabalyo. And you can literally roll around on your katabalyo. Now what's a katabalyo? Rashi says, or shaluk sha'osin mimenu mishtachos l'shulchan ulamita. So here's what's interesting. I guess people used to make tablecloths and sheets out of leather. So it works better with sheets. So what is it saying? Let's say I want to put oil on my body, and then I want to go ahead and lay down. So what ends up happening? So if I have oil on my body, then I lay down. So it turns out then that the oil is going to be smeared on top of the sheet as well. So the Gemara says, that's okay. Why? Darvish Shinam is coming. That's not my intention. My intention is to put oil on my body. The fact that the sheet will benefit from it is an incidental. There ain't a choshesh, and there's no need to worry. Amar Achista lo shanu elo letzach tzecho, aval avdo aser. So the Gemara says, but all of this was Rav Chista comments, and he says that all of this is only mutter letzach tzecho. So we'll say tzach tzecho means to polish, but to tan it will be aser. So what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Letzach elo letzach tzecho. Lo shanu mutter de mutter lasuch shemel raglo. So we'll say, the Gemara makes a very strange statement. When is it mutter to go ahead and put oil on your foot, and then go ahead and put the foot into the shoe, into the sandal? Only when your intent is to polish the shoe. But if your intent is to tan the leather of the shoe, then it's aser. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about over here? La'avdo pshita. I understand, obviously, that you can't tan the leather of the shoe on Shabbos. V'su l'tzachtzecho mi'ika man d'shari. But is it mutter to go ahead and polish the shoe on Shabbos? So also the Gemara saying is like this. Apparently, you know, you need much less oil to go ahead and polish the shoe than you do need to go ahead and tan the shoe. So the Gemara seems to be reading like this. That on Shabbos, you could apply enough oil to your foot to polish the shoe, but not enough oil to your foot to go ahead and tan the shoe. So the Gemara says, obviously I can't tan the shoe, that I understand, but it's not mutter to polish the shoe either. So what does the Gemara mean? Ella I itmar hochi itmar. Here's how you have to understand the braisa. Amar Chista, lo shanu ella shir l'tzach tzuchol. What the braisa is saying is like this. How much oil can you put on your foot? Only the amount of oil that would normally be used to polish a shoe. Again, obviously your kavana is not to polish the shoe. It's talking about the shear of oil. You can go ahead and put enough oil on your foot to be able to polish the shoe. Aval shear la abdo aser. But to go ahead and use enough oil that would allow you to go ahead and to use enough oil that would be the amount of oil that would be used to tan the leather, that is mamish aser. Tana rabbanon lo yetzei de katan b'mina al gadol. Now katan over here doesn't have to mean a katan, doesn't have to mean a child. It could just mean a small person. A small person can't go out with a large shoe. What is that saying? You shouldn't go out on Shabbos with shoes that are too big on you. Because what's the concern? Rashi says, Lo yetze adam katan b'min'al shu gadol, mishun denof miragul v'aslasuye. Very simply. Because if the shoes are too big, what's going to happen? They're going to fall off, and you may end up carrying it in Rosh Sarabim on Shabbos. So, however, aval yotzu b'chal gadol, but you can go out with a shirt that's too big. The logic behind that is, the shirt's not going to fall off, and people don't usually take the shirts off in Rosh Saradim to go ahead and carry it. Furthermore, a woman should not go out with a torn shoe. Rashi says why? Because ultimately, again, her friends may point it out to her, and she may become self-conscious, and she may end up carrying it. Furthermore, a woman should not do chalitza with a torn shoe either. I also remember chalitza is the process of man dies without children. Again, halach l'maisa, the surviving brother goes ahead and is supposed to marry the widow. If she does not want to marry him or he does not want to marry her, the process is a process of chalitza. To make a long story short, she spits in the shoe. So the Gemara says that you should not use a torn shoe for chalitza. If you did do chalitza with the torn shoe, k'sheira, the chalitza works. And you shouldn't go out on Shabbos with a new shoe. Right? The idea over here is, what's the concern about a new shoe? That if you never really wore it before, it may turn out on Shabbos you wear it and it's too tight. Right? If it's too tight, then what? You're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to take it off and end up carrying it. So don't wear new shoes on Shabbos. However, the Gemara says, Be'ezam min al amru. What kind of shoes are we talking about? Be'min al shel isha. This is specifically women's shoes. Right? Because women are a little bit more medaktikos with the shoes than men are, and if the shoe doesn't fit right, she may end up carrying it on Shabbos. Tani bar Kafra, lo shanu elo shlo yotza bo sha'achas mi ba'od yom. This idea of not wearing new shoes on Shabbos is only what? If you didn't wear it at all, even for an hour before Shabbos. Aval yotza bo me'erev Shabbos mutter. But aloch lamais, if you went ahead and you wore the shoe even just for a little bit on Erev Shabbos, then it's not considered like new shoes, because again, I will say at that point in time, as long as you've worn it a little bit, then what? Then you know if it's a good fit or it's not a good fit. Therefore, there's no concern that you may end up carrying it on Shabbos. Tani chada shomtin mina me'agabe imus. V'tanya idach in shomtin. So we'll say two conflicting braisos. One braiso says that you can remove the shoe from on top of the imus. Imus is a shoe form, right? When they would go ahead and they create a shoe, you would put the leather around a form, like a mold. A last? I don't know. Yeah, okay, well, you understand what I mean. It's the form. It's just a physical form that you use to put the leather around. So you could go ahead and you could remove the shoe from the form on Shabbos. Now the Brisa says, you can't. So the Gemara says, lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Harabi Eliezer Harabanon. Two different opinions. This nan. Minah shal gabe emos, if you have a shoe that's on top of the shoe form, Rabbi Eliezer mitzaher. Rabbi Eliezer says it's tar. What does it mean? Rabbi Eliezer says it's not makabel tuma. What does it mean it's not makabel tuma? Because while it's still on the form, it's not a kli. It's not a kli. The chachamim mitamim say that it's tame, i.e. it's makabel tuma, i.e. that it's a kli. So we'll say bepashtos, what that would mean is Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's not a kli, would therefore hold what? That the shoe is muktzah. Because if the shoe's not a kli, if it's not a utensil, if it's not a shoe, then you can't do anything with it Shabbos. the Chachamim who would say that it's tamid mekabel tuma, meaning it's a kli, would hold that you could take it off the form on Shabbos because it's a bona fide shoe. So the Gemara says, Hani chalarava, da amar davar shemalach dole iser, bein litzorech gufo, bein litzorech mekoma, mutter shapir. So according to Rabbi Osei, holds that a davar shemalach dole iser, because remember again, the shoe form is a davar shemalach dole iser, it has a prohibited, a primarily prohibited use, could be moved litzorech gufo u litzorech mekoma. Then I understand why you could remove the shoe. Why? Because you need the space that form is currently occupying. The form is currently occupying the inside of the shoe. I now need the inside of the shoe to put my foot into it. And if I look at myself, I can move the form. I can move the shoe off the form on Shabbos. However, Elala Abaye, Da'amar Letzorech Gufo Mutter, Letzorech Mekomo Osra Ma'ika Lemeimar. But according to Abaye, who holds that a Kli Shemalach Tole Iser can only be moved if you need the actual Kli itself, but not Letzorech Mekomo, not for the space that it occupies. Then what is there to say? Hachamayaskinon, what's the case over here? Berifui. Where ultimately, again, the shoe was very loosely on the form. So that the shoe could just simply be slipped off the form without going ahead and moving the form. But also remember, when it comes to muktzah, there's only issue of muktzah is tildul. You can touch muktzah all you want on Shabbos. You just can't move it. So if the shoe is loose enough, the shoe could simply be removed from the form without moving the form, you're not going to run into any kind of problems. This Sanya, Rabbi Yehuda says, Im haya rafoi mutter, that if the shoe was loosely on the form, then you could remove the shoe. Time of the rafoi, the reason is because it's loose, halo rafoi lo, but if it wasn't loose, no. Hani chalabai, damar dav shalat le iser, letzorek gofo mutter, letzorek mekama aser. So I understand this answer according to Abai, who holds that a kli shel malach dole iser could only be moved letzorek gufo, but not letzorek mekomo, because in this case, then you would not be able to move the shoe form, because you need the space that it occupies inside the shoe. Therefore, the case has to be set up that the shoe is loosely on the form. Elala abaydar beilin tzorech gufo, beilin tzorech mekoma mutter, my ear ya rafui, afilu lo rafui nami. But according to Rabbi, who holds that klisha malach tol iser can be moved either tzorech gufo or mekomo, then what? That even if the shoe is tightly on the form, I should be able to move the form. Why? Because I need the space that it occupies inside the shoe. To which the Gemara says, Hahi de Rabbi Huda, Mishum de Rabbi Eliezer, because this position of Rabbi Huda is as a result of his allegiance to Rabbi Eliezer. What did Rabbi Eliezer say? The Sanya Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Excuse me. The Sanya Rabbi Huda Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Em Haya Rafoi Mutter. Because again, Rabbi Huda says the name of Rabbi Eliezer that as long as the shoe is loosely on the form, it's mutter. Look at Rashi. Hahi Rabbi Huda Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Ki Amrali Rabbi Huda Lahahu De Mafik Bein Rafoi De Sheina Rafoi Aliba De Rabbi Eliezer. So when Rabbi Huda makes this distinction between a shoe that is loosely on the form and not loosely on the form, that the time that you could take it off the form is when it's only loosely attached, is in accordance with the position of Rabbi Eliezer, do amar minal sha'al gabi ha'imus lab gemar kli. So both sides, when Rabbi Huda makes a distinction about the shoe being loosely or not loosely on the form, that's in conformance with the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rabbi Eliezer holds that, remember, while the shoe is on the form, then what? It's not considered to be a kli. It's not right. It's not mekabel tuma. So therefore, as a result of that, lav gemar klihu calls manshu mechusro tsa. Because again, remember, according to Rabbi Eliezer, essentially the only way you'd be able to get the shoe off the form is if it was rough, or is if it was loosely fitting. So even though, again, technically speaking, you could set up the case where it's not loosely fitting on the form, in order to make the case, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's how you have to set it up. Hadron Allah told it. Well, so let's just look at the Mishnah. Nota Adam Espino, a man could go ahead and carry his child, v'ha'evin biyado, even if the child is going ahead and carrying a stone. The kalkala v'ha'evin biyado. So we'll say again. So here, the common denominator in these cases is, you're carrying object A, which is mutter to be carried, which is not muksa, but object A is either holding or carrying object B, which is muksa. So here I'm picking up my child, but my child has a stone muksa in his hand. Or I'm going ahead and picking up a basket, v'ha'evin besocha, and whereas there are some mutter stuff in the basket, there's also a stone in the basket. So halach l'maisa, I'm permitted to do all of these things. U'metaltlin shumat me'en tohor. Furthermore, I'm permitted to go ahead and carry pure truma tmeya, so tummy truma with tar truma. So remember, you can't really do it. What can you do with tummy truma, with truma tmeya? What could the coin do with it? Only thing you can do with it is burn it. You can use it for fuel. You can't eat it. You can't go ahead and use it for your animal. So in essence, on Shabbos, it's muktzah. because there's nothing really for you to do with it on Shabbos. But nevertheless, if you have Truma Tzmeya mixing with Truma Tahora, you can carry the mixture. Furthermore, v'machulin, you could also go ahead and carry Truma Tahora that's mixed in with chulin. We'll see what the chiddush in that is. Rabbi Huda says, af ma'alin es hameduma be'echad u'mea. So most that we will see. So meduma is an interesting thing. If you have a sa'ah, Rashi points out, if you have a sa'ah, which is a measurement of truma, that falls into 100 sa'ah of chulin, then the truma is batal. The truma is batal. So remember, truma, although again it's kadosh, could be batal in a ratio of 100 parts chulin to one part truma. But interestingly enough, as much as the truma is batal, the rabbis did not want the kohen to lose out on his part. So they say, even though again the truma is batal, you should still separate out a portion for the kohen. So that's called meduma. So Rabbi Huda says, af ma'alin es hameduma echad me'mea. So if you have a portion of meduma, if you have a mixture of meduma of 100 parts chulin to one part truma, you can carry that mixture on Shabbos as well. We'll see in the Gemara what the chiddush is with these cases. So, shkoyach.